It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller.
Welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug DeFeller, and our topic for today is Change Your Questions, Change Your Life, How to Ask Better Questions. Well, if you're listening to the show live, then you're on octalkradio.net, Orange County's number one talk radio station. If you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website. While you're there, be sure to check out our archives for other shows with great guests. You know, if you stumbled on us accidentally, now wouldn't that be something new? But we'll take you. Go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com. Go to the radio page or go to the blog page and subscribe to our blog so that you get our notice every week about what we're doing and sign up for our newsletter. Well, let me get a few announcements out of the way before we get rolling on our topic for today. We've been coaching executives and business owners for 19 years under the banner of The Coaching Perspective here in Orange County. Our purpose is helping to create more effective teams. That's our primary focus. And along those lines, we work with both existing and new management teams and project teams. In all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual member. Of course, we also offer individual coaching from the top executive to the newest entry-level position, people who want to sharpen a particular business skill, and communication workshops. Let's see. ICF Orange County Chapter, their meeting for February should be on the 14th, the second Thursday of the month. But, hey, guess what? It's not going – the second Tuesday, excuse me. It's not going to be because that's Valentine's Day. We don't want to get anybody in trouble. So the ICF Orange County Chapter will meet on February 13th at our new meeting location, the Wyndham Hotel in Costa Mesa. And the topic is going to be how to build a lucrative, lifestyle-friendly coaching business with Ted McGrath. Ted says most coaches are trading their time for dollars. They're chained to a desk with a phone attached to their ear, and they're not getting paid what they're worth. Yeah, you got two out of three for me there. The time has come to change this and build a lucrative and lifestyle-friendly business where you can make money even while you're on vacation. Hey, does that sound fascinating? Be sure to attend that meeting. If you want more information, go to coachesoforangecounty.com. Coachesoforangecounty.com. Let's see. That's pretty much our announcements out of the way. We had a fascinating guest for you lined up today, but you get me instead. Rita Conley, who is senior consultant at HR Alternative, had a last-minute issue with a client, and Rita's going to be with us next week, and this should be a great show. She's also going to start her regular monthly update for us called Rita's Review, which will give you an update on what happened at the last ICF Orange County meeting. This is a way of sharing information, and it's also a way of teasing you into coming to those meetings on a regular basis. So we look forward to Rita being with us next week. And I look forward to being able to substitute for her today and talk about change your questions, change your life. Well, you know, they say that children ask between 400 and 500 questions a day. Based on the time that I've spent taking care of my grandchildren, I think that's a gross underestimation. It sure seemed like a lot more questions. They say that teachers are about the same, 400 to 500 questions a day. And I would guess that that number probably applies to most business people. Coaches are probably much higher, given that questioning is their primary tool. And we're going to take a look at how the questions we ask produce actions and results, but not always what we want. We're going to look at how to identify the kinds of questions you're currently asking, and then how you should change those questions to get the future that you want to get. Before I get too far into this, I do want to give credit. Let's see where that note is here. I want to give credit. There is a great book on this topic that has been a standard in my library for a number of years now. It's, guess what, called Change Your Questions, Change Your Life by Merrill Lee Adams. Well worth picking up, adding to your library. A lot of great information that we're going to just get a chance to touch on today, but I want to make sure that you're aware of that and that this is by no means a substitute. If anything, it's sort of a teaser of what she's got in the book, and I think it's going to challenge you to pick up that book and look at it. Also, some of the information we're going to talk from a book called The Clearness Committee, Clearness Committee by Parker Palmer. And that was a new one to me, and I haven't found too many people that are aware of it, and we're going to talk about a clearness committee and what that means. So there's the credits for today. You know, what we want to talk about is questions. And we're not going to talk just about the questions that you ask people. For a minute, think about who is it that you have the most conversations with during a day? It's yourself. We're constantly talking or listening to that little inner voice inside of us that's making statements, asking questions, making assumptions. And so when we talk today about asking questions, we're not just talking about asking questions of other people. We're talking about asking questions of ourselves. And yes, questioning is a key tool. In fact, some people like to say that it is the cornerstone of coaching, that what coaches do is ask questions rather than give advice, and that separates them from consultants. But you know what? I don't care whether you're a coach, whether you work in the HR department, or whether you own your own company. We all spend all day long asking questions of ourselves and of other people. And that's kind of what we want to touch on. Well, we know that the best way to solve a problem is to ask questions. But if we don't ask questions in the right way, we end up creating roadblocks. So what we want to talk about is what kind of questions would create a shift in our perspective. If we can look at the issue from a different perspective, many times the solution becomes very obvious. You know, one of the key things that is wrong with asking questions, and I've read some studies on this about questioning in a classroom environment, is that most of us are guilty of not waiting long enough for an answer after we ask a question. You know, there's that silence. I ask you a question. Have you ever thought about this issue before? 7 seconds. That was a long 7 seconds for me. I wanted to respond right away. What we do is we really ruin the ability of people to give us a response. We interrupt their thinking about the question, the time they need to analyze the question and formulate an answer. So one of the keys that I want to just start off with right away is when you ask a question, wait. Wait for the answer, you know, and resist the temptation to give the answer. You know, one of my favorite coaching questions that I was introduced to by my coach goes like this. I'm asking a client, well, what would you do in this situation? And the client says, I don't know. And my response as his coach or her coach is, well, if you did know, what would you do? And do you know that in over 90% of the cases, I then get a response? What is that all about? It's about that knee-jerk reaction that most of us have to a question that's sort of sensitive, either going to make us think about something new or is touching a tender spot about something we don't want to get into. And so our immediate first response is, I don't know. You ask me a question, don't know the answer. But when we follow that up, whether you're a coach or whether you're using this as a management technique or whether you're using it at home with your children, when we follow that up with, well, if you did know, what would you do? What would the answer be? And that has reframed that question in a way that seems to make it safer for the person to answer. So there's our second tip for the day. First, don't give the answer. Pause. And second is, if they don't know, ask them, if you did know, what would you do? You know, there is in Merrill Lee's book, she uses an analogy of being on a path. And she talks about the fact that when we ask questions, either of ourselves or of others, that we have two paths that we can take. We can take what she calls the high road, the learner path, which is open-ended and leads to thoughtful choices and leads to solutions that are focused and to win-win relations, or we can take what we call the judger path, the lower path, which leads us to sort of automatic reactions, makes us more blame-focused, and a win-loss relationship. And we want to talk a little bit about what the difference between those two is. You know, the upper path, the learner path, is the one that you get by choosing to be open-minded, accepting, curious, discerning, thoughtful, where you look from multiple perspectives at the issue, a win-win, open possibilities. The judger path has to do with reacting rather than choosing, and it is more of a critical mindset, more reactive, more committed to being right, looking at it from the just one perspective, looking to win so that somebody else loses. And all of that narrows the possibility, limits the number of answers that can be arrived at from that question. So what we want to do is catch ourselves. And just because we start down one path doesn't mean that we have to stay on it. We have the ability to switch over, and we're going to talk about switching questions that lets us switch over from one path to the other path. Now, let me just tell you that when you want to be on the learner path, the high road, the first choice you have to make is to start observing your own thinking. How am I thinking about this issue? How am I thinking about the question I'm going to ask, or how am I thinking about the question that was asked for me? You know? And when you find yourself going down that judger path of being blaming somebody, not being open-minded, not looking for a win-loss situation rather than a win-win, the way you switch back to the upper path, to the learner path, is by just asking yourself this simple question: how else can I think about this? And let me give you some examples of this. And this is right from Merrilee's book and is just a great piece of information. She takes and contrasts questions from a judger or from a learner perspective. The judger says, what's wrong here? And the learner says, what works here? The judger says, who's to blame? Who am I going to blame for this? And the learner road looks at the issue with, what am I responsible for? Do I have some blame in this issue myself? The judger says, how can I prove I'm right? And the learner says, what are the facts in the situation? Forget about right, wrong. What are the facts here? The judger says, how can I protect my turf? And the learner says, what's the big picture? Not just how it impacts me, but what's the big picture here? Forget my turf. What's best for the environment? What's best for the company? What's best for the group? The judger looks at it and says, how can I be in control? And the learner looks at it and says, what are my choices here? The judger says, how could I lose to make sure that won't happen? And the learner says, what's useful about this? Even if I lost, how would I apply this learning to another situation? How might it possibly help me? The judger looks at it from a protective nature and says, how could I get hurt in this? How would I be expose myself? And the learner says, what a learner would say, what can I learn from this? Not how can I get hurt? The judger looks at the other person's questions and says, why is that person so clueless? And the learner says, what is the other person feeling, needing, wanting? Different perspective. And the judger, to just wrap this up, says, why bother with this whole issue? And the learner goes, what is possible here? What might we do? You know, that in a nutshell kind of gets to the heart of what is in this book by Merrilee. You know, and it's really deciding which path you want to be on and listening to yourself and listen to the questions you're asking and switching between and keeping yourself from going down that judger role. You know, she gives a list of the top 12 questions that you should ask yourself for change, you know, and she says that this could apply to anything. And what we're talking is that you integrate this kind of questioning into your everyday thinking, that it become a habit. So when a challenge comes up, when something happens, that you recall the questions. You don't have to go look to a piece of paper and figure out what the questions were. Does number 3 work here? And you're going to find as I go through these that some of them talk to you more than others. And so maybe rather than memorizing 12 questions to constantly ask yourself every time you get in a situation, maybe there's a couple here that would really serve you well. You know, how many times do we go into a meeting and just react rather than asking ourselves the question, what do I want from this meeting? What do I want from this relationship? What do I want from this conversation? Do I want to prove that I'm right? Do I want to humiliate the other person? Do I want to learn something new? Do I want to find out what the truth is, not what supports the position that I've taken? So what do I want? First question. Second question. What are my choices in this situation? You know, so many times, again, this is all about perspective. We enter dialogues, especially when emotions are concerned, and we enter them with a thought that there's no choices here. I've either got to win or I've got to lose. You know, it's either got to be my way or his way. It's got to be right or it's got to be wrong. Rather than looking at the choices here, there might be another way to do this that nobody's thought of. We might both be wrong. We might both be right. Wow, wouldn't that be a switch? And to do that, you have to really ask yourself this key question: what assumptions am I making? This is not an easy question. I'll tell you that in my coaching of business executives, we usually don't make a breakthrough in solving a problem until we can identify the assumptions that are being made. And that isn't easy. It's because assumptions, by their nature, are things that we believe to be the truth all the time in this kind of a situation. And our experience has supported that those assumptions are always true. And therefore, we are so sure of them, we don't even question or consider them. They're just like, I know the sun's going to come up tomorrow. I know it's going to rain because the clouds are over my head. So you need to look at what assumptions you're making before you can really start to consider your choices. Your coach can help you with this. You can, as a coach, whether you're a formal coach or whether you're a manager within the company and you're trying to help somebody, try to get at the assumptions they're making. When somebody comes to you, you know, I can think of a situation we were talking about, a company that was in serious financial trouble. And after the executive had outlined for the group that he was talking to the financial problems, the group says, well, what do you want us to do? He says, well, I just want you to support my position. And what is your position? Well, my position is that I'm just going to turn this down. You know, I'm going to have to close the company up. It took a lot of questioning to get to why was he making that assumption? What were the things behind that assumption? What were other things that he could be, other alternatives? Fourth question, what am I responsible for? You know, this is, we so often get sucked into things that are, especially in the business world, how about in your personal life, that aren't your responsibility or my responsibility whatsoever at all. I'm standing there. I'm listening to two friends have a dialogue. There's a serious problem they're trying to solve. And all of a sudden, I'm interjecting myself into the conversation rather than going, what's my responsibility in this conversation? It's just to listen, maybe. Nobody wants me involved in it. Boy, does that hurt. How else can you think about the issue? Sort of checking the assumptions, sort of looking at what your choices are. And one that I think is really, really important is, what is the other person thinking, feeling, needing, or wanting? You know, in Negotiations 101, one of the first things that we teach you is to put yourself in the position of the person on the other side of the table and to try to figure out what it is that they want to win or what is important to them in this negotiation. If I can figure out what you want out of the negotiations, then I can take a look at those things and decide, you know what, none of those are costly to me. I can just give you all of those. We don't have a big problem with the negotiations. Or three out of the four are no issue, but one of them is absolutely is critical to me, and my position is the opposite from yours. But if I don't stop and put myself in your position as a in this negotiating example, then I am very reactive in the conversation rather than being proactive. And that's the way it is with questioning. That's the way it is. We want you to ask yourself the question, in this conversation, what is the other person driving for? What do they want? What are they thinking? What do they need? You know, when we get in those conversations that are difficult, that start to get a little bit intense, argumentative, defensive, you need to ask yourself, what am I missing or avoiding in this conversation? As a coach, you can ask your client this. I mean, I keep saying ask yourself. These are interchangeable questions. They're just as valuable to ask yourself as they are to ask somebody else, whether it's as a coach, your client, or whether it's a manager, your employees that you're trying to work with. What am I missing or avoiding in this conversation? You know, somebody is talking about the fact that they just absolutely think that the price is too high for this service that I'm trying to sell them. And they're arguing about the price. They're arguing about the value that I'm going to deliver. And guess what? All of a sudden I realize that what I've been missing is they just can't afford it. I'm trying to defend the value. Their issue is they don't have the money regardless of what the value was. So I'm going down the wrong road in this conversation by defending value rather than looking at the issue of how can they find the money. Because their perspective, what I was missing is I don't have the money and I want to avoid telling you that I don't have the money. Multi-part question to ask yourself, what can I learn from this person or situation? What can I learn from this mistake or failure? Or what can I learn from this success? You know, we're in business, I would say 50-50 in terms of analyzing our failures and looking at what we can learn from them. But I would say that only in 20% of the cases do we ever take the time to analyze our successes and figure out why were we successful in this situation and what does that mean about future situations like this? What does it mean we should be doing all the time? What does it mean we need to be sure we don't stop doing here in the future, that we need to continue doing? So analyze your successes. Analyze why did this conversation go right? They say that people don't really learn from their mistakes. People really learn. Now, yes, okay, if I put my hand on a hot stove as a five-year-old, I learned from that mistake. It hurt. I got burned. I'm not going to do it again. But outside of the physical realm, we learn the best. Best meaning it is retention. We remember to do this or not do this again. When we are praised for doing something right. So what can you learn from this success? What can you learn from what went right? You might ask yourself as you get into this or ask the next person, what action steps make the most sense? How can you turn this into a win-win? And maybe just to sum it up in terms of questions here, what is possible? I have sat through thousands of business meetings that debated primarily a handful of alternatives as to what was the best alternative. The really, really memorable meetings to me are those few where the meeting focused first on what are the possibilities rather than the three alternatives that were brought into the room. What are the possibilities out there in the world that we might possibly consider for this situation? You know, it was interesting. I was having a conversation at lunch today about the children's use of electronic toys, whether we're talking the Wii or the phone or whatever it is, this sort of universal problem that parents are having with younger children of the children wanting to spend all their time playing the games, wanting to be playing the Wii or the Xbox or be on their touch texting with their friends. Question became, you know, what are the possibilities to control this? Obviously, the most obvious, maybe the first one that comes to most parents is you can't use that anymore. Well, the next is I'm going to restrict when you use it. And the next is I'm going to reward you. You can use it only after you've done certain things, your chores around the house. And as the conversation went on, there were more and more ways to ultimately restrict the usage of these toys without just saying you can't use it. There were lots of other possibilities. You know, I have to share this one. It was really creative. The mother walks into the room. The children are playing on the Xbox a game. It's, I don't know if it was an online game or a box game, but she is shocked by the language that is going on. That's the background to the action game. Now, what's her solution? Stop playing this game. I'm going to take the game away from you. She said, you know what? This game can be played in multiple languages. If you want to play this game, you turn it to French. Now, all of a sudden, the children are playing the game. They're hearing the background, but they don't know the words. Solution of bad words was solved in a very creative way because she was looking. She asked herself, what's possible? What possible ways can I control the situation other than my first knee-jerk and reaction, take the game away? You know, that's a pretty simple example, but that example can apply in the boardroom of Fortune 500 companies just as easily as it can apply any place today. You know, in looking at this information, I was encouraged to research further the very issue of asking questions. And, of course, in my coaching training and in many of the business courses I took, there was always the training that you don't want to ask closed-end questions. You want to ask open-ended questions. And if you haven't heard that term, the closed-end question is the question that can be answered with a yes or no. The producer asks me, Doug, do you want me to interrupt you for a commercial? That's a closed-end question. My answer is no. You know, the open-end question for that is the question, are you considering commercials in today's program or any other types of breaks? Do you need to rest your voice, get a drink of water, run down the hall? That's an open-ended question. There's more than one possible answer to it. Open-ended questions create a much richer dialogue. They have more opportunity for people on both ends of the conversation to be creative. Okay? What you're trying to do, and there was an example I saw of three circles, and we've all seen for various kinds of things, three circles drawn, and there's an overlap. So there's a sweet spot where all three circles intersect. And the example was given that one circle has to do with the topic that's being discussed. The other circle has to do with your personal reality, how you perceive the situation being discussed and what you perceive as being the alternatives. And the third circle was the external reality. It was a broader perspective on the subject, the one that isn't on the table, but the possibilities that exist in the world that could apply to this. And when you can find that sweet spot where we are talking about the topic, that we are interfacing it with our own reality and perceptions, and we are able to look at it from other perspectives of what's possible that I wasn't suggesting, what's possible that I didn't know about, then all of a sudden we have the absolute perfect questioning environment where we have brought all of those together. Well, when we're looking at questions other than just looking at open-ended and closed-end questions, there's a talk about convergent questions and divergent questions. Convergent questions are those that basically are closed-end, that require only a short answer, very little reflection. And probably the response is one that's recalled from memory, factual kind of data. Whereas convergent or open or open-ended, as we call it, divergent, which is more of the open-ended, these require some analysis of not only the question, but other outside data, information, situations, experiences brought into play to arrive at a response to this question. You know, the convergent question example might be, And at a very low level, I had one here, a low order. What color is the lion in this painting? Whereas a high order question is might be, why do you suppose the lion is that color? Which then requires you to look, think about environment and other lions and different species and its place in the food chain. You know, what are you trying to get to here? Many times our questions are not really questions looking for creative solutions. They're questions where we've got a predetermined path that we're trying to go down, and we are asking this these questions to lead you to that. The example that comes to mind for me is that situation that most of us have found ourselves in at the car dealership, sitting in with the salesman or the finance manager, and they are trying to sell you something, and they are asking you questions, and you just know that there is a list behind that desk of these questions, and if you answer yes in the way they've asked it, you can only answer yes, then they go on to the next, did you like that car? Well, yes. Did you think your wife likes that car? Well, yes. Do you think your children would be safe in that car? Yes. I mean, we're getting closer and closer to my buying that car, okay? But we haven't gotten into any dialogue about, is that car going to fit your overall family needs, both financial and physically? Now, that requires a whole lot of other analysis that the salesperson doesn't want me to go through, because they've got a predetermined place where they want me to land. Yes, I will buy that car. We make that same mistake so many times in our day-to-day coaching, managing, conversations at home, of really not asking questions in the sense of looking for possibilities. We are trying to direct people to a preconceived solution. We want to get away from those closed-end, convergent questions to the higher level, divergent, more open-ended kinds of questions, where there's more critical thinking about the information, there's new ideas, there's opinions, there's conclusions, references, inferences that have to be drawn about the situation. It requires looking at alternative ways of doing things. What are the 10 different consequences that could happen here? It focuses on critical thinking skills and requires in-depth discussion. Why do we not have those kinds of conversations? Because nobody wants to take the time. They're just looking for a rubber stamp. Let's agree with this. So, you know, without getting into too much more detail, I think that pretty much makes the point that I wanted to make here today about questioning yourself, about how you question others, about looking at whether you are on the learner or the judger path. Mary Lee, in her book, Change Your Questions, Change Your Life, has what she calls the ABCC, not ABCD, choice process. A, being aware, am I in the judger or learner mode? B, breathe. Do I need to step back, pause, and look at the situation more objectively? C, curiosity. Do I have all the facts? What's going on here? Am I aware of what's being discussed and what the other person's thinking? And second C, choose, what are my choices? And there's always more than one. What are my choices here? So that kind of takes us through this this discussion on questioning today. I think it's relevant not just for coaches who make a living from asking questions, but I think it's relevant for managers, for service departments in a company, for HR, for anybody who is having dialogue with other people, who's looking to explore the situation to come up with the best possible answer rather than just rubber stamping it. You know, I've heard disgruntled employees say, you know, I wish my boss would just tell me what he or she wants, because the way they ask the questions, they've already decided what the answer is going to be. They're just making me go through this painful analysis to come up with, proceed down the limited, narrow path that they've already predetermined to come up with the answer that they want. Why don't they just tell me what to do? don't like a dictator, but it's a lot easier than somebody who is asking closed-end questions with a predetermined result in mind. So that's what we're talking about today, you know, questions, the power of questions, the power of questions to yourself, the power of questions as you use them with other people. Well, look, be sure to tune in again. We're on the air live every Thursday at 4 p.m. on octalkradio.net. Look for our weekly newsletter. It comes out either late Wednesday or early Thursday morning. If you're not getting it, go to our website and sign up for it. Go to the website anyhow and subscribe to our blog. You'll get information on everything that we're talking about and that we're doing. I'd like to just thank you for tuning in today. Remind you to tune in next week. This is Doug Gefeller. Hope you've enjoyed the show and the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals. Have a good evening. You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller.